We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Diane Mader. Diane is a divorce attorney with 30 plus years of experience practicing divorce law and mediation in Wisconsin. Diane's goal is to teach everyone who seeks a divorce how to have a good divorce. Divorce doesn't have to be a disaster. Diane urges people to find divorce as a future-focused planning process. Divorcing parents must find solutions to parenting conflicts. Critical financial decisions must be made. Invest in your future by hiring a talented guide through the divorce process. Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. I am so happy to be here and so glad I made the decision to come to the Third Ward and see you in person. It's just really nice here.
It is.
And I'm really honored to be your guest.
I'm glad that you made the trip, and I'm glad it's decent weather for you, because a few days ago, you might have changed your mind.
I know. That trip. The sun was shining today, and there's pansies blooming in various beautiful pots along the street down here. Come to the Third Ward, everybody.
Yeah, nothing puts me in a good mood like seeing those first little sprouts of green coming out of the ground, right, in spring.
I know. And having them not be covered with snow.
Yes.
That's a nice goal.
Absolutely. All right. So, Dan, how long have you been practicing divorce law, and how has your marketing of that, of your area of expertise changed over the years?
You can imagine that with more than 30 years in the same field, things have changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think the way this all started for me is, like most baby lawyers, when I started, I went in with a mentor who had a practice, and he agreed to take me in for zero pay, but good experience, which I did back in the day, and I know people still do that today. So I took everything that I could find, everything from real estate transactions to criminal defense to divorce, and I found that I really enjoyed the divorce work. And I've always defined divorce as helping people, and I know that it turns out, runs against stereotype. When people think about divorce lawyers, they don't think about helping. Mm-hmm. They think about sharks.
Yep.
They think about destruction, and I have to get it all, and if I don't get it all, then I might as well spend it on lawyers fighting. And that's really what it was like. Other divorce lawyers were primarily like that at the time. But I love the divorce work and giving it that that spin of being something that nobody likes change. People really don't like unwanted change. And so many times in a divorce, one of the persons at least, this is an unwanted change.
Yep.
So what I began to do is really try to practice in this empathetic, compassionate, healing way. 30 plus years ago, business people and lawyers did not talk about healing, empathy, or compassion. Those words now we hear, and we hear about mindfulness now, which has become a very big part of my life, but then we didn't. So what happened was I started representing children whose parents were divorcing. Mm. And that's called being a guardian ad litem.
Okay.
And the way you got to be a guardian ad litem is judges appoint you and lawyers accept you. And in order to be accepted by lawyers, I needed to be fair and impartial and responsive. So I learned those things very early on in my practice and was able then to try to teach parents to not destroy one another. So I was saying to them, we're not going to say that I'm all good and you're all bad. I'm all right and you're all wrong. I should have the children all the time and you should get them every other Wednesday. We're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about parenting strengths. We're going to talk about what did your family look like before you separated? What does it look like now? What do your children need? That's what we're going to do. And that was wonderful. And I settled most of my cases, which of course is what the judges wanted. The attorneys, maybe yes, maybe no, because of course, the more you litigate, the more money you make. Mm-hmm. But I settled a lot of cases and became a really well-known and talented guardian ad litem. But what happened next is I felt like I wasn't making enough practice toward my goal of making divorce safe for children. Mm-hmm. So that's been my divorce. That's been my divorce goal forever. And I decided what was happening is that I was trying to educate parents, and at the same time, they were in this legal box. And the legal box required them to be adversaries, because if the case didn't settle, they would be in court trying to prove I'm all right and you're all wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm all good and you're all bad. So they felt like they couldn't admit strengths of one another or look to the future because they're in this fight. So what I decided is being a guardian ad litem isn't enough, and I broke off and became a collaborative divorce attorney. Collaborative law came to Wisconsin about 2000, and I'm proud to say I am one of the mothers of the collaborative divorce movement in Wisconsin, and around that same time, I found mediation. Both of those are known as alternative dispute resolution systems mm-hmm. in the legal world sure. because they're an alternative to the common, which mm-hmm. is litigation. So then my goal became making them the default. Okay. Nobody should be over here in litigation. Everybody should be in mediation or collaboration. And now I really focus on mediation because mediation is really the guts of it, because it's where you can teach people how to transform mm-hmm. from married people into two separate whole healthy people, whether you have children or not, and move forward. So like we say, in the horse world, because I'm also an equestrian, forward is always the answer.
Okay. Why don't you elaborate a little bit more on what exactly mediation is and why do you think it is a better divorce process?
Okay. Collaboration is a fancy way to do mediation in my idea. And it can be so helpful, especially when you have people who are at very different, let's say there's a power imbalance between the parties. The wife can be two wives, it can be two husbands, mm-hmm. it can be a husband sure. and a wife, yep. whatever kind of scenario you're mm-hmm. working with. And so the advantage of collaboration is you really have your lawyer at the mediation table, but it's similar work. So what mediation is I sit down with people, spouses, who are going to have a divorce. And often, as I said, there's a person who's sort of the initiator, mm-hmm. and then there's the person who's sort of coming along. So I recognize that, and I put that on the table. So in my work, I don't leave elephants in the room silently. I always help people identify the elephant in the room. Okay. Because once you talk about the elephant in the room, then you can move forward. And almost every set of spouses has an elephant in sure. the room. Now, this doesn't mean that we talk about who did what in the marriage, because that business, that stuff, doesn't belong in mediation if it's not done, if those threads have not yet been untangled, mm-hmm. and we can't do that relatively swiftly in mediation, then what I suggest is people see a therapist.
Sure.
Because that becomes then therapeutic work, which sure. of course I'm not qualified to do. On the other hand, as a lawyer with these years of experience, I can recognize it, I can name it, and we can see if we can untangle it.
Sure.
So mediation, I sit down with the spouses and I talk about the divorce process. Divorce process, from a legal perspective, is actually pretty straightforward. It's file a divorce, reach an agreement called a marital settlement agreement that includes all of the bases that the law requires you to touch in that document, okay. file financial disclosure forms, and then go to a 10-minute meeting with a court commissioner who will, as long as your marital settlement agreement is appropriately drafted, mm-hmm. accept it and grant your divorce. Final paperwork is called findings of fact, conclusions of law, and judgment. because of a change by the Supreme Court 2 years ago in Wisconsin, I am now allowed, mediators are now allowed to draft all of those documents on behalf of the spouses.
Wow.
So in the prior days, prior to 2 years ago, we worked these things out, and then people either tried to do a cookie cutter, fill in the blank online form, which is disastrous, because it's very important what is in that document, or they had to go hire a lawyer to represent one of them to do those documents. And the problem with that is too often the lawyer made the agreement fall apart.
Oh.
And it wasn't because necessarily the lawyer was trying to do that. It was that the lawyer didn't have the benefit of being part of the negotiation and understanding the give and take that negotiation requires. So in collaboration, you don't have that problem because the lawyers are at the table.
Sure. Yeah.
Flip side is you're paying two lawyers to be at the table, and you can imagine what the combined hourly rate becomes.
Oh, sure.
Whereas in mediation, if you have a mediator helping you drafting those things, and you maybe each then seek legal advice on the document and buy, say, an hour of legal time on each end, which I certainly recommend, the overall cost savings is just going to be substantial.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
But I do want to say that if you have complicated issues and maybe need a financial specialist or a mental health professional, collaboration has a wonderful way of creating that team.
Nice. Good, good insights. Thank you so much for the thorough information.
Thank you.
Really helpful. In today's podcast, though, as you are well aware, is about networking, right?
I know, right?
And that's how we've met,
it
obviously.
Is.
My goal is to help alleviate the fears that anyone may have when it comes to that scary word, networking, right?
Yes.
So can you do that by sharing with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Oh, I love this question, and it's right at the top of my head.
Cool.
And it's pretty extraordinary, too. So as a mediator and as a lawyer, most of my referrals come from past clients. And there's only so much networking you can do with past clients. The networking with clients really becomes the same thing that you want to take to your formal networking, which is about being truthful and dependable and consistent and authentic. So those are the heart of my practice, and they flow over to my networking. So in short, the networking story is that last summer, a former client emailed me and said, "My son is getting divorced. Would you be the officiant?" Because, Lori, one of the wonderful things that I do in addition to practicing law is I officiate at weddings.
Okay.
Which is so meaningful. Writing, you know, what the folks want the message to be like.
Okay.
So much fun. So I said, yes, I'd be happy to do it. We talked about the charge and all of that. Well, a few days later, I got an email from the bride. And she said, "It turns out, Diane, that you represented my dad in his divorce from my mom."
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I said, okay. And I said, actually, I represented the wife. I represented the wife.
Oh, okay.
So her mom in their mom and dad's divorce.
Oh, okay.
And I said, okay. And I said, "How does dad feel about that?" And she said, "Dad feels perfectly fine."
Okay.
And I officiated at the wedding, and I went, of course, Dad and I greeted one another. He gave me a great big hug. He was standing with his brother, and he said to his brother, and these people are in their 50s and 60s, you know, and he said to me, "You'll never believe who this is." And the brother said, "Who?" And he said, "She represented my wife in our divorce." And we laughed and had a toast. So if you can get to that level of kindness, compassion, empathy that you're practicing every day, boy, I think that's just a huge compliment.
No, that's fantastic. Great story to share. Thank you so much. So as you're, well, many years in your trade, obviously, you've probably come across a number of individuals and helped a number of, as you mentioned, kids and adults. How do you stay in front of or best nurture the relationships that you've built over time?
Well, you know, I do that by as I said, how I relate to not only my client, mm-hmm. but also to the client's spouse mm-hmm. and also to the client's lawyers. So I do that. I wear my integrity on my sleeve, and that's the best way to nurture networking with my clients. I hope that they'll give me a review on Google. I hoped that they will go to some of the law sites where people might search for lawyers mm-hmm. and give me a good review. But I don't ask for those things because to me that crosses a boundary. And okay. so I don't ask for those things. But in my formal networking, I do things like the group that we're in. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing there is, again, just being myself. If there's an opportunity to speak to the group, I do that. If there's an opportunity to set up a table, I do that. Mm-hmm. I do lots of work on Facebook. On Facebook, I have a site for my legal practice, which is just called Attorney Diane L. Mader. Then I have a Facebook for my mediation practice, which is called Hey, Can We Talk? Mm-hmm. Then I have a Facebook for my coaching practice, which is called Still in the Eye of the Storm. So I keep current with the posting. You know, networking is mm-hmm. all about showing up and being consistent.
Yep.
I have joined two networking groups recently, which is something I didn't do in the past.
Okay.
Because my practice is changing so much and because I've added coaching and really beginning to hone in on mediation. And what I find with those networking groups, again, take advantage of the speaking opportunities, but also just make sure you're present, mm-hmm. you know, you're present and you're reaching out.
Yep.
So that's how I handle sort of the in-person, both with clients and the wider world, mm-hmm. and then with these various Facebook and LinkedIn, of course, I do that, mm-hmm. and a website, so that's Mader Law, so I do a blog on there. Mm-hmm. So I do the things that you're supposed to do.
Yep. So when it comes to digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Personally, I love digital marketing because I'm a writer. And so it really gives me an opportunity to get my message out in a consistent way.
Nice.
I'm also actually an introvert. So the personal networking in a group is not easy for me, but I'm good at it. And so it's so helpful to know that you're an introvert, but that you can also be an extrovert when you need to be, mm-hmm. Because I'm also very interested in people.
Yep.
And so at those groups, I can easily ask people what they're about, mm-hmm. what they're doing. And I think that's just really valuable, maybe not so much to get business, but supporting other women in particular is really important to me because now look where I am in my career. I'm 3 decades out. There's a couple of next generations coming, and I want to support those women
and
make sure that if they feel like they could use mm-hmm. Advice or even just a sounding board, I want to be that for them. So the in-person, I just make sure that I take care of myself as an introvert. I know that when I do the extroverted work, I'm going to need some downtime.
Yep.
And I build that in for myself.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. I like to say that I'm an introverted extrovert or extroverted introvert, one or the other. I don't
That's
really
right.
know which one's which, but I can definitely relate that, you know, you can feed off of the energy in the room,
you
but
can.
Then you just kind of are drained after exerting so much energy.
That's exactly how I find
yeah.
it. Yeah.
That's I can relate to that. Diane, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
So I would tell myself to do what you did, Diane, which is to follow your North Star.
Cool.
Don't end up trapped in a traditional practice of whatever type that doesn't speak to you, because that is just a dreadful way to live this one precious life that we have. And I was able to do that. I was able to be a solo practitioner for the vast majority of my practice. But I also started out with that mentor. He was really important to me. As law school doesn't teach you about being a lawyer, like how to do the day-to-day work. So it's critical, I think, to have a mentor early on. But I also think it's critical that when that relationship has run its course, that you're willing to make that leap.
Yep.
And make sure that your message of service is what you're providing for people. What I would tell myself that I would do differently is I would do I would plan for retirement.
Okay.
Because, and I mean financially plan for retirement. Because the work I do, so long as my health stays good, age is not a barrier.
Yep.
But I planned really well for that, those houses. I planned really well for that marriage. I've been married 37 years, believe it
Congrats
or not, as well, right? Yep. So I planned for that. I had one child because I knew that physically, emotionally, financially, one child is what we could manage.
Yep.
I planned for his college education. He got through with doing some part-time work himself and no student loans with support from his mom and dad.
That's awesome.
Did a great job planning that. I did less well planning for my retirement. Mm-hmm. And so if I could go back, I would make sure I'm good at nurturing others, right, as women are.
Sure.
Less good maybe at making sure that all of my needs were on that clipboard.
Mm-hmm.
Lori has a wonderful conference room, and in addition to a whiteboard, it has these individual clipboards in a grid that you can take down, put your white piece of paper on, write ideas. So on my, which is wonderful, Lori.
Oh, thank you.
I really admire that, and I'm going to do that.
Oh, fun.
But that's what I would say to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good insight, and I think it's a really good message that the current generation can hear is that you have to make sure you're investing and planning for yourself.
For yourself. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed to disclose that, right? Because nobody's perfect.
Sure.
And you asked about really what would be the advice, and I want your listeners to know that, to think about
that. Yeah,
it's
great advice, absolutely. All right. So, Diane, we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
So this is huge aspirational. So this one, maybe I am a little embarrassed to say. Isn't that funny? I would love to connect with President Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
And his wife, Rosalynn, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter has always been a personal hero of mine because of his peacemaking. And I really believe he was undervalued as a president because of his peacemaking, because we are all about, as Americans, departments of war.
Yep.
But we're not about departments of peace. And I really admired the work that he did then and the work that he's continued to do. So talk about living your life with your integrity and your values on your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
He's a person who has completely done that. And he's continued into his 90s to do his volunteer work, to serve people. And that's what I want to do. Lori, I have no idea how I could connect with former President Jimmy Carter. I've been to his library, which is in Atlanta, which is amazing. I've been to his home. One of the reasons that I so admire him is because he came from very basic roots. I mean, I've seen the place he grew up, you know, and I come from that. I'm a first generation college student, say nothing about a doctorate.
Yep. Yep. Wow.
And so I really admire that as well, that he didn't come from. Now, of course, they had their farm and things, you know. So I'm going to ask you, how do I do that? I'm going to put the ball in your court because you're a professional.
Sure. So I would say one of the first steps is, I would say, leverage the legal side, right? Because obviously government and legal space are somewhat connected. And I'd start with your legal resources and see who's connected politically.
Yeah.
And start that journey there.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
thank
thanks.
You.
Well, if you do make a connection, please report back.
I will. Thank you. Even the efforts will be gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the journey is always, is really, the journey is really what it's about. It's how you live your life. Mm-hmm. So I will do that.
Absolutely. As an entrepreneur, I'm always intrigued on how others are self-educating. So are there any books that you're reading right now or podcasts that you're listening to that you'd want to share with our listeners?
Your podcast is wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I listen to Rhonda Nordics.
Sure. Yep.
She's a Milwaukee person, and hers is about financial wellness. Mm-hmm. I listened to that, and I was a guest on it. I think hers is very good. I listen to Kathy Heller. Do you know Kathy Heller?
I'm not familiar with her. No.
Her podcast is called Quit Your Day Job,
okay,
or something like that. And her message is to find your passion and be authentic and don't do work that doesn't fill you.
Yep.
Find your purpose.
Okay.
Right? And I am a huge reader. I read at least a book a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And I keep track and I do it, mindfully. Mindfulness has become.
Uh-huh.
I've recently become a certified horse massage therapist.
Cool.
I'm also a Reiki master.
All right.
So you can see that self-education is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm studying mindfulness, which
okay,
is really a wonderful, fulfilling thing. So the books right now, I just finished a fiction book called something like The Chilbury Ladies Choir,
okay,
which is set in World War II.
Mm.
And its focus is what it was like on the home front for
okay,
women in a novel. I'm reading Grit,
oh,
which
sure,
is a social science text,
mm-hmm,
I would say written at a pretty high level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not exactly a self-help book,
yeah,
in a way. And it talks about why do some of us make it and
mm-hmm,
some of us don't,
yep,
in achieving our goals. And, you know, that has to do with, you know, consistency, determination, in essence, grit.
Yep.
And then I'm reading Martha Beck's book called something like something by Starlight. So again, it's a traditional kind of Martha Beck book, but
okay,
it, you know, it's about, again, living your purpose, defining your purpose. I also practice vision board. I do vision board workshops, and I also practice a smaller form of vision board that I've called Heart and Soul Collage. So it's on a smaller piece of paper, and it brings in things from nature when possible.
Okay.
And it's almost like a poem, where a vision board is almost like a story, a short story.
Mm-hmm.
These soul, mind, heart collages are more like a poem.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat. All right. So I know you did ask me one question, but I'm going to let you ask me any question that you'd like to ask.
How do you make a podcast, Lori? Now, is that a secret that
you're willing to disclose?
No,
I'm more than happy to share. So making a podcast, well, you have to have the right equipment. But actually, you can record audio right on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some nice microphones, and we're using software to record. We use Adobe Audition, so we're mm-hmm, paying for that. But there are free ones out there that you can use.
You have to have something to say, right?
Yeah, you do have to have a nice message. So
yeah,
it took me a little while to figure out what did I want my podcast focus to be on. And I picked networking because it's something that all professionals have in common.
Yeah.
Right?
And then how do you market your podcast?
Well, we use social media very uh-huh, heavily. We post on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and it gets pushed out in our email newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And we always hope that our guests are happy to share it with their audience as well.
Do you do Instagram? Everyone's talking about Instagram.
Sure.
You do.
So we do Instagram, but
uh-huh,
more just for fun,
I
would say, internally to showcase the culture.
Yeah.
And to prove that we know how to use a tool. But we primarily target the B2B audience. And I would
uh-huh,
say very select opportunities come from Instagram in a B2B space.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you.
Good questions. Thank you.
Good.
All right, Diane, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Be yourself. Be authentic. Be kind. Be compassionate. Have empathy. remember that it's how you make the person feel that they remember, and make marketing a part of your life and know your purpose.
Oh, very great pieces of advice.
Thank you.
Well done. If anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
My personal email is diane@materlaw.com. Mater is spelled M as in Mary, A, D as in dog, E-R, so materlaw.com. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, and I mentioned the Facebook pages earlier.
Sure.
The easiest way is either through the website or just send me an email.
All right. We will include all of that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Great conversation indeed. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Diane Mater for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.